Last Monday, I gave a brief explanation for why I believe the Bible teaches God created the world in 6 days. The main reason is the context of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Gentlemen, you in the green and the brown, be quiet, please. The main reason is that in Genesis 1 and 2, the context shows that there's no reason for understanding the word day to mean anything other than a normal 24-hour day. Now, how many people actually believe that today? I don't know. It's probably a very small percentage, right? Should that trouble us? That only a few people actually believe that? No, I don't think so. Our beliefs don't have to be determined based on how many people believe something. If something is true, then it doesn't matter if you are the only one believing that. And so we should not be persuaded to change our beliefs just because a lot of people believe in something different. Let me ask a question as we continue a few musings on the issue. Did Columbus seek to prove that the world was round and not flat as he set out for the New World in 1492? Was Columbus seeking to prove that the world was round and not flat? We have a show of hands if you believe he was trying to prove the world was round. Just raise your hands. Okay, a few. Maybe most of you don't know what to say. Thank you for those who were daring to raise your hand. The idea that Columbus was trying to prove the world was round is actually a myth, right? Columbus was not seeking, quiet please, to prove that the world was round, meaning that wasn't the debate at the time. It had been well established from the Greeks and throughout the Middle Ages that the world was round. Oh, were there people who might have believed differently? Oh, sure. But it was not part of the debate. Columbus was not having to debate people who thought, oh, you might fall off the edge of the world. Now, there was a myth that was later created in the 1800s and 1900s that Columbus was seeking to prove the world was round. But that myth was generated in part to try to drive a wedge between science and the Bible. Okay? There were people who believed in the myth, or even those who came up with the myth originally, and who thought, oh, you see, this is a good way to try to refute those stupid people who believe the world is flat. And even today, if you believe in six-day creation, you are likened to people who supposedly believe that the earth is flat. But you see, it's a myth that has been brought into schools. It's even, unfortunately, in some of the textbooks that we have helped publish, which I would like to change. It's in all sorts of books. I would recommend to your study, it's a very interesting book called Inventing the Flat Earth, by an author, Jeffrey Burton Russell. It's not a long book, but he shows how the myth was invented and how it has been used. It's a fascinating book. If you want to study history or science, I would strongly recommend this book because there are all sorts of false ideas that become part of our culture today, and then people don't even check to do the research, and they believe because they've heard it somewhere, and they just assume it's true. And people do this somewhat out of ignorance, but others are doing it because they have an agenda. Okay, so an interesting book, Inventing the Flat Earth. That's not the main thing I want to talk about. But what I want to emphasize today is there does not have to be a conflict between the Bible and Christianity and science when they are both properly understood and when we compare it with science properly understood. you hopefully have some idea of the history of science. It's an area that needs to be studied more often. There were very advanced civilizations in the past, right? You know that. The Greeks, the Romans, the Chinese. Very, very advanced civilizations. Some of their design of buildings, their literature, some of their political developments, very, very advanced. And yet, where did science develop? Where did science develop? Science developed not out of the Greek or Roman culture or Babylonian culture or Indian culture. Stanley Jocke, who is a philosopher and historian of science, said science suffered stillbirths in those civilizations, meaning they were very advanced, but they were never able to develop modern science or what we know as science today. And that is because although they were very sophisticated, intelligent people, what they believed about the world did not allow them to develop science. Because many of those cultures worshipped creation. Or they had other false views about creation. Remember, the Greeks believed in evolution. Right? It was not Charles Darwin who came up with evolution. He helped popularize it. The ancient Greeks also believed in evolution. So there were many false ideas in these very sophisticated cultures which did not allow science to develop. Remember, you can be very intelligent and believe something that's false. And you could be not a very smart person and know something that is true. So these very advanced cultures did not have the truth about the physical world, about creation. And so science never developed from those cultures, but rather came out of a Christian worldview. That does not mean that every scientist has been a Christian, far from it. But if you look at all the major fields of science, Christians have had a role in almost every single field. Why is that? Why were Christians at the forefront of science? The answer, and several answers could be given, but let me summarize a few. The Bible, though not a science textbook, presents the only true view of the world and creation. Right? From Scripture, we understand that creation is not God, but was created by God. We understand that the physical world is not eternal, but there was a starting point. That's a very interesting concept, right? The idea of something starting. It's a very philosophical idea. And Christians, we believe that there can be a starting point. There was a time where something did not exist, and then a time after that where something did exist. That whole idea of a beginning point is actually a very fundamental view of science. The idea that we can understand the physical world. In some philosophical and religious ideas, there is no reality. Right? It's all illusion. That's what, you know, some people believe that. They can't really live like that. Remember, in Hinduism, there is all of reality is one. They teach all of reality is one. You see your friend sitting there? That's an illusion. No, we're all one. Now, we recognize that that's false, but there are people who believe that, and if many people believe that, you can see how that would never develop into modern scientific thought if you believe that. Another encouragement coming especially from the Reformation was the idea that God wanted his people to use their talents, not that religious life was the only special way of serving God, but that you could serve God in whatever you did. That was very useful for the development of modern science. It is often assumed that people like John Calvin and others were against science. It's a false view. That's another myth that has been taught. It was man's duty to learn so that others could be benefited. That's how a lot of scientists have gone into science, right? They have wanted to study something to bring a blessing to others. And is that not the heart of the gospel message? That has a very powerful motivation in terms of encouraging people to go into science. And these are very general points, but these basic starting points are what allowed science to develop. Again, not that every scientist in the past was a Christian. You know the name Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton wrote a commentary, I know, on the book of Daniel. Isaac Newton had more theological books in his library, I think, than scientific books, something like that. Now, Isaac Newton has often been thought of as being a Christian. I don't think he was, because he has written things that show that he likely was not. However, he was certainly influenced by a Christian worldview, even though he maybe had other views that would show that he was not a Christian. And so Isaac Newton, operating from a Christian worldview, did help us understand the world in a way that we did not before. Have you heard of Galileo? The first one that we know of to use a telescope to make modern observations and record them. It is often told, you see, there was this war between, at that time, the Roman Catholic Church versus Galileo. And it was science versus the Bible. But if you really study the issue of Galileo, it was not science versus the Bible, but Galileo was going against what Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, had taught. And the Roman Catholic Church at that time, and even today still, but especially at that time, was heavily based on the philosophy and ideas of Aristotle. And so when Galileo is going against Aristotle, the Roman Catholic Church, of course, was frightened by that, or was very concerned about that. And so it was not the Bible versus science. It was the philosophy of Aristotle versus what Galileo and his observations were concluding. So again, the idea that the Bible is at war with science or anti-science is false. And we could go through other examples. Second, we need to consider that science is not always right. Just because someone is a scientist doesn't mean that they have knowledge of everything, of course. Scientists do study more than some other fields perhaps do, but that doesn't make them right either. If you study the history of science, you realize how many theories were once believed that are no longer held today, right? When George Washington was sick and he had a fever, what did the medical science of his day suggest should be done? They should let out his blood. That was, remember, George Washington dies, he dies in the later 1700s, right? So only 200 years ago, let's say, it was believed if you had a fever, you had too much blood. And so you should drain some blood from your body. Now, that probably did help some people, right? Just because something sort of works doesn't mean that it's truth. And so that whole theory of medical science has been cast aside. Would you want to go to a doctor who believed in that scientific idea today? And we could come up with many other examples. Have you heard of the science of eugenics? Eugenics means good genes. And eugenics was a very respectable science about 100 years ago. And it was the idea that we could help develop a superior race, especially by helping keeping down the population of inferior races. Good genes. And many people believed this. It was a very popular idea of the day. Universities, Harvard and others had professors of eugenics. The idea that we can encourage these modern, well-advanced humans, but we have to keep down those races or those people that are less than us for whatever reason. Do you know the name Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, the largest murderer of babies in the world? Margaret Sanger believed wholly in eugenics. She wanted to eliminate the races that she did not think were so good. Do you know that Margaret Sanger helped encourage, she recruited people, disciples, who would go into areas, black areas and other areas, to help encourage abortion? Because she wanted to wipe out those inferior races. And Planned Parenthood is a very, you know how many businesses give to Planned Parenthood? How chic it is, you give to Planned Parenthood? That organization was based on this idea of eugenics, which, as I say, many people thought was very respectable. And so again, science does not have a very good track record in a lot of areas. Third, and I'll close with this, we must distinguish between, quote, science based on actual observation, careful measurement, and science that comes up with theories that cannot really be tested. There, we know that science has provided us with cell phones. Science has provided us with all sorts of cool electronics. How is that possible? Because those ideas can be tested, right? You can test an idea. Is this antenna better than another antenna? You can test that, right? But can you test the theory that, well, 3 million years ago, we broke off from the orangutan line, and then we have developed as humans? How do you test that theory? Okay, so science uses the name science, but it can mean very different things. And so we have to distinguish between what we might say is actual observational science and that which is more theory. Now, why do so many people, let me close with this, believe in evolution today? I want to list three factors. First is money. Our government gives billions of dollars every year to help finance evolutionary theories, right? The whole university system gets money from the government and from others, but a lot of it from the government, to boost up evolutionary ideas. So part of it's a battle between money. Second is prestige. If you want prestige today in the scientific world, you cannot profess your belief in creation. You will be laughed out. So many people are cowered into believing into evolution because they don't want to be laughed out. It's very much a, you know, it's like there are cliques in schools. There are cliques in scientific fields. If you're not in the right field, oh, you're not going to get the prestige. You know, what takes place in high school takes place in scientific labs, okay? Third, people have embraced evolution, and I think this is perhaps the leading reason. They have embraced evolution because they do not want to have to face the idea that there is a personal God that they will give account to. That, I think, is the main reason why people have embraced evolutionary theories. It supposedly gives them an excuse. It helps them alleviate their conscience, their fear. They will stand before a God one day and give account. We'll close there.